Chapter 20. Every second of the next hour and a half passed by at a snail's pace for Dave. The sun glared down on them, and without the protection of the canvas cover, most of the party succumbed to exhaustion. The relative safety of the moment made for a good time to take a nap. Even Catherine looked to be having trouble keeping her eyes open atop her horse. Julian may or may not have been in one of his elf trances. It was hard to tell from behind him, and while he was wearing that ridiculous sombrero. Tim was sprawled out on the floor of the wagon just below Dave's feet. He looked peaceful. In fact, everyone seemed to either be dozing or well on their way to it. Everyone, that is, except for himself and Captain Righteous. Dave chanced a glance at him and was met with the captain's steely stare. Dave turned away. Whatever sense of peace and security everyone else was feeling, Dave didn't feel at all. Sure, they were now well beyond the reach of the ants, and that was good. And yeah, Captain Righteous was unarmed and technically their prisoner, but that was of small comfort. Dave could see in the captain's eyes that he was forming a plan, waiting for an opportunity to present itself. And even if no such opportunity arose, then what? What were they going to do with him? Just send him on his way in this new city? He'd be rearmed and up their asses again in no time. Every now and again, they would pass a cart or wagon headed in the opposite direction, presumably on its way to Algor. Upon seeing the state of the party's wagon and the unlikely combination of races riding in it, most of them would give it a wide berth and hurry their horses along without so much as a friendly wave on the way past. Dave leaned back and tried to formulate some sort of plan in his mind for what their next move should be. Most of all, he thought about how they were going to get back home. Mordred couldn't really be planning to keep them here indefinitely. And what about the police? 6 people just went missing. Surely there would be an investigation. They'd find Mordred's tire tracks, DNA, phone records. Dave slumped forward, cradling his bearded face in his meaty hands. No, they'll probably just walk into the chicken hut, see the role-playing books and dice, and write us all off as having made a suicide pact or something. What the? Shouted Julian. Dave looked up, but saw only a sombrero floating down like a leaf where Julian should have been. Gow! Shit! Julian continued, but his voice was coming from below the wagon this time. What? Catherine said, trying to shake the sleepiness out of her head. Who? She looked over to see Julian missing. Ah! She screamed and then fell out of sight. The wagon rolled to a stop, but not before rolling over both of them. Dave stood up and looked ahead. The horses were both gone, as if they'd never been there to begin with. He turned around. Julian lay face down on the ground about 20 yards back, and Catherine sat up and rubbed the back of her head. Tim sat up. What happened? Why have we stopped? What's going on? Dave had no satisfactory answers to these questions, so he kept his mouth shut. Captain Righteous looked to be as surprised as anyone, but spent less time asking questions and more time seizing an opportunity. He hopped off the back of the wagon and reached Julian before anyone had time to react. He unsheathed his own sword from Julian's scabbard and placed a boot firmly on Julian's back. Nobody move, said the captain, placing the tip of his sword against the back of Julian's neck, or you'll have another head to play with. Tim punched Chaz in the shin until he woke up. When Chaz was able to fully appreciate the situation, he kicked Cooper in the back several times before he woke up as well. Catherine stood up and drew her sickle, but dared not move forward. Her wolf barked and growled, but Catherine ordered him to stay back. Greeley and Shorty sat perfectly still, no doubt contemplating what the best means of escape would be. Tim stood up with his hands raised. I'm warning you, halfling, shouted the captain, his foot heavy upon Julian's back. Stay where you are!
If you hurt him,
Cooper shouted,
I'll rip your fucking...
Cooper! Hissed Tim. Shut up!
Don't tell me to shut up,
Cooper said.
I've had it with this pacifist bullshit. That's my friend he's got over there.
I've got an idea, Tim whispered. Cooper checked his anger.
Is it a good one?
Nope.
All right,
said Cooper.
Run with it, dude.
Tim turned back to face the captain. I'm coming out, he said, alone and unarmed.
Stay where you are,
shouted the captain, but too late. Tim had already hopped off the back of the wagon. Catherine, said Tim. Catherine refused to take her glare away from the captain's face. What? she barked back to her brother. Take Buttercup and go back to Butterbean. Whatever. Take your wolf and go back to the wagon. I'm not leaving you alone with him. You don't have to get in the wagon, said Tim. Just back off and give us some room to breathe. He looked at Captain Righteous. And talk. Catherine didn't move. Catherine, Tim pleaded. I'm going to try to negotiate a safe passage home. Catherine turned around to look at him. Real home, Tim said.
If your home is located in the deepest pits of the abyss, bellowed the captain, then rest assured you'll return there soon enough.
Shut up,
Tim and Catherine said simultaneously. Much to Dave's surprise, the captain shut up.
Come on, Cat, said Tim. If things go badly, you can always summon a whole pack of wolves to rip that fucker to pieces.
He made no effort to hide the message from the captain. Catherine backed up, beckoning Butterbean to follow her. Tim stepped forward.
What's your endgame here, Captain?
I will bring this murderous band of thieves to justice.
You're outnumbered 8-1, observed Tim. And that's not counting a wolf and a...
He lowered his head.
A bird.
8-1, is it? The captain sneered. Do you include the wizard under the heel of my boot, who I could...
Sorcerer!
Julian struggled to say, with his face pressed in the dirt.
Fine, said the captain. The sorcerer whose head I can sever with a single thrust. Do you include yourself? The unarmed halfling standing right in front of me, who I could disembowel from where I stand?
All right, fine, Tim conceded. But still...
The captain carried on.
How about the little goblin and the ancient old man? Do you expect them to fight alongside you?
Tim didn't respond.
Let's see how loyal your new friends are, said the captain. Shorty, Greeley!
The goblin and the old man shifted in their seats uncomfortably. Shorty cleared his throat.
Yes?
I grant you your freedom. Go now, and you shall never be pursued.
Shorty and Greeley looked at one another.
Thanks,
said Shorty. He and Greeley hopped down from the side of the wagon.
Good luck, guys. I think I speak for the both of us when I say we've enjoyed the time we've spent with you, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
He looked at Greeley for confirmation. Greeley nodded.
Indeed, he said, and then turned to the captain. So long, Captain. All the best to you as well.
He and Shorty walked away, not on the road, but rather into the grasslands off to the side of it.
So, said Captain Righteous, how do you like my odds now?
Tim shrugged.
Still not so good. Yeah, you might take down a few of us, but you'll never take us all down.
Do you see this armor I'm wearing? Asked the captain.
The sneer was gone from his face, and the contempt had left his voice. The sunlight shone off the armor so brightly that Dave had to squint in order to look directly at it.
Yeah, said Tim. I've noticed it.
This isn't your typical soldier's standard-issue suit of armor, you know.
No, agreed Tim. I wouldn't think so.
This armor was passed down to me by my late father, said the captain. It's been in my family for 7 generations. I have no sons.
Why not?
Haven't had time. Haven't met the right girl. You know.
I'm sure she's out there, said Tim. You're a good enough looking guy. Gainfully employed. Have you met my sister?
The point, interrupted the captain, is that I would rather die by the hands of my enemies than dishonor my family line by letting a murderer escape justice under my watch. This is the armor I choose to die in.
Seriously? Said Tim. You're going to talk to me about honor right after you tell me about how you're going to cut my helpless friend's head off and disembowel me while I'm unarmed?
It is unfortunate that...
And what about the dishonor to your family line by letting a murderer escape? Cooper's the one you want. As many of us as you kill, Cooper will surely be the last one to fall. You'll still be letting a murderer escape under your watch.
But I will have died in my attempt to uphold the law, and there is honor in that.
What if we give you the chance to go mano a mano with Cooper? His axe against your sword.
Sure,
the sneer returned to the captain's face.
And the rest of you lot will just sit back and watch while I cut down your friend, right? Forgive me if I don't trust a group of criminals to not stab me in the back. No, I think I'm going to decline your offer. I think I'll be able to take out at least 4 or 5 of you before you kill me. If the big guy remains standing, he's dumb enough so that he'll be easily captured later without all of his little friends to help keep him out of trouble.
Tim, said Dave.
Not now, Dave,
Tim shouted back at him.
I think you ought to see this, Dave insisted.
Tim whipped his head around.
What?
He ran around to the front of the wagon to get a better view of what Dave was looking at. Dave knew it was coming. He'd seen this cloud of dust once before. He'd felt these same tremors, horses, and lots of them. Tim ran back to face Captain Righteous.
You talked a big game, he said, but you haven't done anything. If you're going to die in a blaze of honor and glory, why haven't you started killing us yet? Why have we been standing around talking?
The captain smiled down at Tim.
You are the one who wanted to talk.
You've just been stalling, haven't you? Demanded Tim. Those are reinforcements coming, aren't they?
How do you like my odds now, little man?
For such an honorable man, you sure are a sneaky motherfucker.
And for such a sneaky rogue, you sure are a dumb motherfucker,
the captain retorted.
Listen, shitbag, Tim shouted, taking a step forward.
He stopped suddenly, his crossed eyes fixed on the end of the captain's sword at his nose. The thundering sound of horses in the distance drew nearer. Whoever was coming was doing so in a hurry.
It matters not to me, said the captain, looking down the length of his sword blade at Tim, whether you die here by my sword or die tomorrow morning at the end of a rope. Who knows? You may even concoct some sort of brilliant escape plan during the night.
Tim took a step back. Captain Righteous laughed.
I wouldn't count on it, though. The prisons in Cardinia are far more secure than the little dungeon in Algor, and they are much more accustomed to dealing with prisoners with all of your different skill sets.
I want to talk to Mordred, Tim said coolly.
Who is Mordred?
You know damn well who he is.
The captain furrowed his brow in confusion.
I honestly have no idea who you're talking about. If this is some sort of last-minute trick, I can assure you that you're far too late.
I know you're in there, you fat shit bucket, Tim shouted.
I beg your pardon,
the captain was taken aback.
I understand you're upset, but I don't have an ounce of fat on my...
Are you having fun in there?
Tim continued shouting.
While we're all struggling for our lives, you're sitting in my restaurant.
You've gone mad!
Drinking my beer, eating my popsicles, and jerking off to my sister!
Ew, Tim,
said Catherine.
Please don't give him any ideas.
Captain Righteous cocked one eyebrow.
Popsicles?
Tim didn't seem to hear any of it. He just kept on shouting.
You think you're so great and powerful with your magic dice and your shitty car and that stupid fucking velvet curtain that you wear on your back and...
Anything else he said after that was drowned by the din of hooves pounding the ground around them.